This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's a burning question Enviro Show. This is Dio, and I am not in the studio with...
I'm Glenn Ayers.
Right, Glenn. And as you know, we've covered recycling issues over the years on the show and mentioned how awful garbage to energy incineration is for our health and the environment. But I don't know, we never seem to have done a show on that very burning issue itself. Finally, we have Amy Donovan, Franklin County Waste District's Program Director, returns to the show with the details. Now, how about an Enviro Show Quote of the Week to take us to our interview? Okay, this Quote of the Week is apropos to our... I think this week's show. Source reduction is to garbage what preventive medicine is to health. And that's by someone called William Rathje. And I don't know, you could click on that link, find out who he is. But that's just what we're talking about in the interview. We talked about source reduction, right, Glenn?
Yeah, you know, garbage is a bunch of garbage. And so we talk all about what a really wasteful society we are. And, you know, you have to admit it. When we were young, you know, there were all kinds of ads with actual make-believe indigenous people crying on the TV about trash on roadsides and keep America beautiful and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You walk around now, I mean, no matter where you go, there is nothing but garbage and trash pretty much everywhere. And it's mostly plastic, of course, now. It's not paper that does eventually degrade, but it's almost like there's so much that nobody's bothering to even pick it up anymore. On a windy day, you know, I live in Greenfield right now, the streets are just covered with blowing plastic from people's recycling bins that they put out. And it takes sometimes an entire day for the DPW trucks to come around and pick up all that blowing litter. Well, they don't pick it up once it's out of the bin. They just dump the bins in the truck. So all of that is getting added to the environment. And of course, you know, we've talked about this on the show in the past, that a lot of that so-called recycled material doesn't actually get recycled. A very small percentage of it really gets reused for anything beneficial. However, that's the system we have. And so we get into some more details with Amy Donovan talking about the garbage, especially in the Connecticut River area or Western Mass area, but also about the trash incinerators. And that's one good part of this interview, is that the two trash burners in Western Mass now have shut down. Mm-hmm. For the past couple of years, they've no longer been burning trash, which is really great news. But, well, listen to the interview and you'll see what the result is from those facilities closing. But there's still four or five trash burners or trash warmers in the eastern part of the state that are still burning most of the trash in Massachusetts, because most of it is generated in the eastern part of the state. So anyway, we'll get into the interview and then we'll see on the other side.
All right. Today on the Enviro Show, we are joined, I'm going to say once again, by Amy Donovan. Amy hasn't been on the show. I can't remember how long it's been. Too long, Amy. And Amy is a, I don't know what to say that doesn't sound pejorative, but you are the queen of solid waste in Franklin County. Well, you and Jan Amin, who you work with, you are both the queens of solid waste. Everything about solid waste, you know. And you're at the Franklin County Solid Waste Management District. I think
that's
I have
correct.
That right.
Yes.
And you've been there for a long time. And Jan has been there for a long time. And
forever.
Everything having to do with whatever you want to say, garbage, trash, anything that we throw out, you folks know all about it. So, you know, as far as managing transfer stations and all that kind of stuff, you are the people. So we want to talk today about, just in general, about trash in this region. And one of the things that we've talked about in the past on the show is the trash incinerators where our garbage used to go, but those have shut down fairly recently. So if you could update us on the trash warmers, there was one down in Springfield that was a major source of pollution, I'll say, for the Springfield region.
Yep.
And then if you could also maybe mention where our trash goes and just fill our listeners in on the fact that there is no such thing as away. When you throw something away, the away part is actually, it's going somewhere else. And so what's the story of where our trash goes in this region, Franklin County or the entire Connecticut River Valley, if you know?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me, and I'm thrilled to be back. We used to have in Western Mass two local waste incinerators that burned municipal solid waste to create energy, waste to energy plants. One was in Springfield on the Agawam line, and the other one was in Pittsfield. And these were traditionally owned by Covanta Energy, and then they sold to Eco Community Power. And they ran it for a few years. And in 2022, that company went bankrupt. And so they gave about 2 weeks notice, I think, and closed up shop. And so the local municipalities that had contracted with this facility, or these two facilities, were kind of left to scramble for another arrangement for their waste. And so Jan Amin from the Franklin County Solid Waste District participated in that local regional, I guess it was like a discussion. And, you know, different towns and different waste districts came up with different scenarios, but most of them are now putting their trash on trains and sending it hundreds of miles away by train, by rail, to landfills. So the waste from Franklin County Solid Waste District towns, which is 21 member towns in our district, the trash from all of those towns doesn't go through this contract, but the majority of them. I won't bore you with the details of that. And so our waste is going to McNamara Transfer Station down on Rose Street in Springfield, where it's loaded onto rail cars and sent to Bishopville, South Carolina, which is 850-ish miles away. And so it behooves us to get everything we can out of our trash. The materials that are banned from the trash in Massachusetts, like bottles, cans, containers, paper, cardboard. Where's my list? I know I'm stalling here, but anyway, there's a long list. It's on mass.gov. But there's about 20 different items that are banned from the trash, including leaves and yard waste, in Massachusetts. And this is a really good idea to keep things that are recyclable or hazardous out of the waste stream. And it really just means that towns have to come up with ways to recycle them or reclaim them from the trash. But anyway, your original question was, where does our trash go? So other communities are also, you know, having their trash trucked to large commercial transfer stations way beyond the municipal transfer stations that we're familiar with. And these large facilities are consolidating that trash and sending it for long distance transport to faraway landfills in other states. So the Solid Waste District actually has a new contract coming up, and the trash will be most likely going more locally, but still not in Massachusetts. And so the state of Massachusetts is not building any more landfills. The landfills in Massachusetts are all slated to be filled up and closed within, you know, about 5 years. Some of those landfills just accept ash from incinerators, and there still are five incinerators in the state of Massachusetts. There used to be seven, but now there's five, and they're usually built in environmental justice communities for whatever reason. And so we used to have Eco Pittsfield and Eco Springfield. Those are both closed. We still have in Massachusetts ReWorld Haverhill, CMass, which is in Rochester, Mass, in southeastern part of the state. We have Win Waste Innovations in Millbury and in North Andover. I thought there was one more. So there's four or five. Oh, and then there's one in Saugus also. So Saugus, North Andover, Millbury, Rochester, and Haverhill. So those facilities are burning residential trash to make energy. Most of them are at capacity, meaning there's no room for commercial haulers or towns that don't have a contract to get in on those. And oftentimes, interestingly, the towns right around those waste incinerators don't have pay-as-you-throw waste programs. And so they have higher trash output, of course, because if people don't have to think about their trash volume with their wallet or their pocketbook, then they're less likely to keep recyclable and compostable things out of the trash. Mm. And so it's a great way to keep the trash volumes down too.
Right. Amy, D.O. here. So my question is, who monitors the air quality around those stations?
The Mass DEP, and the facilities are tasked with cleaning or scrubbing the air. But you know, incineration is not without controversy. I'm not going to pass any opinion on that right now. I mean, it used to be good that the incinerators contributed 4% of the local energy grid. So that's a positive, but you know, we could talk for the entire rest of the time about, or do a great Google search on the controversies surrounding waste incineration. Now, people always say, oh, we should do it like they do it in Europe, where they incinerate the waste and make energy. And I'm always like, but we do that, but people don't know where their trash goes. Oh, and by the way, we don't have any landfills in Western Mass. The last landfill in Western Mass was the Chicopee landfill, which closed in 2019. And you can see that when you drive on the Mass Pike near the Chicopee Ludlow exit. It's a mountain that's rising up on the, I think, the southern part of the road. And at night, you can see a flame in the woods. And it's the methane being burned off from the landfill. So that's why I'm so passionate about keeping food waste out of the trash when we send our trash to landfills, which we do now in Western Mass. We are contributing to climate change mightily, because food waste or anything organic like paper or cotton clothing in a landfill, as it degrades very slowly without the presence of oxygen, it creates methane, which is a greenhouse gas that's 28 to 80% more potent as a greenhouse gas than the same amount of carbon. That's coming from landfills. And yes, the landfills do have landfill gas recovery systems, like the one in Chicopee that flares it off, it burns it off. but sometimes those systems aren't installed until that cell of the landfill is filled up, and it's a little later in the process. So a lot of the methane has probably already escaped. Methane is, landfills are the number three generator of methane gas in the U.S. So any food waste that we can keep out of the trash is helping that situation. And According to the Mass DEP waste characterization studies that are done at the waste facilities, they actually go through the trash periodically and sort it into different categories and figure out the composition and percentages of different items. Food waste is one of the biggest categories that we're throwing away now. It's 30% of our trash. And, you know, we're doing really well in Franklin County. We've got 16 municipal compost programs out of 21 towns, 26 towns in the county have a municipal compost program. And a lot of people like pay for private subscription from a organization like the Compost Cooperative to pick up their compost at their house, at their curb. So we're doing really good in Franklin County. So our percentage is probably a little less. But since your radio listeners encompass, you know, more southern part of the valley and beyond, not every town has a municipal compost program, especially, and I'm sorry to call them out, but Hampden County doesn't have a single municipal compost program as far as I know, and I should know. And in Hampshire County, we've just had three towns within the Hilltown Resource Management Cooperative start composting, and I believe it's Worthington, Cummington, and Williamsburg. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but I'm pretty sure those are the three Hampshire County towns that have just signed on to start composting in the last year or so. And then, of course, we have Northampton and Amherst that have compost programs at their town transfer stations. And then Hadley has a compost program at their transfer stations. So I think we're up to six towns in Hampshire County, 16 in Franklin County, zero in Hampden County. call to action, Hampden County. And there's quite a few in the Berkshires also. So this is a great way to get all that heavy, wet food waste that contributes to climate change out of the trash. I like to say in a nice, friendly way, are you still throwing away your food waste in the trash? Let's get that into a compost bin.
The idea that we don't have any landfills locally kind of brings me to the point of thinking, well, you know, we're a very obviously very consumer-oriented society, and the concept of extended producer responsibility for things, you know, now maybe some of these things have been banned through DEP, through the waste stream bans, but a lot of other things obviously are not. And what do you think about the concept? And I know there's lots of legislation proposed every year or every other year in Massachusetts to kind of extend the responsibility or push the responsibility off on the producers or the distributors or the suppliers of a lot of things that are either single use or packaging that is intended to be used, you know, only until you open up the box and then it becomes waste. And so what do you think about that extended producer responsibility, if that would be a way to kind of close that circle?
Yeah, definitely. So every year, as you said, people, very smart people who have more time to work on these issues, or maybe they don't have more time, but they work on them anyway, than I, you know, work with the legislature to try to get extended producer responsibility legislation passed. And this past year, there was a really good bill called Paint Care to get a paint care program in Massachusetts that would accept latex paint as well as oil-based paint at retail locations. Like, you know, you'd go to Home Depot or Aubuchon and they would take back your old paint. And that did not pass. It was not successful. And it was really, really close. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty discouraging to see these things be stricken down. And so there's a great group in Massachusetts I suggest people follow. It's Mass PSC. And it's Mass Recycle is working on that a lot. So if you go to massrecycle.org, Mass Recycle is a wonderful advocacy group. They hold a conference every March, and they're really open to everybody in the state and coming up with solutions for waste problems. They have a great podcast, but I highly recommend that anybody who has interest and time to assist with that effort in Massachusetts, that's the best thing we could do locally to make some of these things happen. the product bans in different towns. Like, for example, when Big Y or corporations, when Big Y stopped using plastic bags, that's a really effective way to cut down on waste. When before the bag bans were instituted, or Big Y and other stores stopped using plastic bags, the Springfield Materials Recycling Facility, where the recycling from most of Western Mass towns is processed, had a really bad problem with plastic bags coming into the facility, clogging the machinery, floating around in the air. They were just, 10, 15 years ago, it was much more prevalent. Now, since there are less bags out there, we're seeing so many less bags at the Springfield MRF where they should not be, because they wreak havoc. And we're seeing less, incidentally or anecdotally, seeing less bags on the side of the roads and caught in the trees, like especially like in a town like Greenfield or Northampton, where they've been banned. So I think bans do work. If communities can ban different things like nip bottles for small alcohol bottles, things like that. The Mass DEP is starting to give monetary rewards, not huge money, but some money, to communities that go through a certain grant process called the Recycling Dividends Program. The towns basically, or in our case, the Solid Waste District, Jan Amin, the executive director, does all the reporting for our towns, reporting what they're doing, all the different programs. So our towns have amazing programs for recycling and taking back and reusing and composting. And so the Mass DEP gives points, which equals a little bit of money for each point. And towns are getting checks from the Mass DEP every year for, several hundred or several thousand, $10,000 as a reward for doing all these programs. And then they can in turn use those funds to pay for the program. So it's a real win-win for the towns and for the environment, local residents, and the Mass DEP. So one of the things that they're offering points or money for is if towns ban certain items in their town that are mostly single-use plastic throwaway items, they can that can't be recycled, they can earn a point or two. And so there's a lot going on behind the scenes that people don't know about. I want to get back to your original question about local waste disposal options. I have a presentation I've developed over the past, 18 years, called Where is a Way? Meaning what you've touched on, where do things go when we throw them away or recycle them? But I've added on another three words to it. Where is a way? Composting is local. So we do have local facilities for our waste, and those are compost facilities. We have Martin's Farm in Greenfield that's permitted to accept like over 22 tons a day of material. We have the smaller Clearview Composting in Orange, which is pretty awesome. And then we have a few other sites throughout the state or throughout Western Mass. And we also have a newer category of waste facilities, and those are the anaerobic digesters. So I recently toured the Agawam depackaging facility for Vanguard Renewables. And it was pretty impressive. They take large amounts of waste from like grocery stores and manufacturers, food producers, like really big scale, right? Truckloads that come in their packaging. It's food that's expired or spoiled for whatever reason, even beer. And they put these things through special machinery that removes the packaging. And then the food waste is pulped and sent to anaerobic digesters on farms. So this is a really great local solution. And the farms are local. They're like, in Deerfield and Hadley and places like that. So that's another sort of tool in our tool belt. And then we have the Springfield MRF for recycling, which is a really wonderful facility It's the Springfield Materials Recycling Facility. It accepts recyclables from 65 member towns in Western Mass, and it's a dual stream recycling facility, one of the last in the Northeast. And it is a very, very high quality mix that goes in, and 11 different material streams that come out. Most of that is baled. Glass is not baled. It's broken into small pieces called cullet and trucked to a couple different facilities. So we do have local composting and recycling. The Springfield MRF is owned by the Mass DEP. It's the only facility of its kind in the state that is owned by the state. So it's a state-owned facility that is overseen by an active advisory board on which I serve, representing Franklin County. And it's managed and operated day to day by a private company, Waste Management Recycle America. And they're great partners. They do a wonderful job sorting, baling, and selling our recyclables. 60% or more of our recyclables is cardboard. And that also has a really cool local destination. Cardboard from our towns goes to Springfield, where it's sorted and baled. And it's picked up in almost a continuous stream by a facility in Connecticut that pulps it and gets it ready for the next step, which is sending it to Worcester, Mass, where it is finished into corrugated cardboard. I haven't had time to investigate if that facility then sells it like back to Amazon in Holyoke. That would be a really cool little loop for cardboard going right around southern New England. But even if it doesn't get sold to Holyoke, Amazon, it's still a pretty short loop for cardboard. So I really love that. And speaking of the Springfield MRF Advisory Board, I want to encourage everybody to pick up a copy of the newspaper this Thursday, April 17, because the Reduce, Reuse, Recycle Guide will be inside the Greenfield Recorder, Daily Hampshire Gazette, Amherst Bulletin, and the Athol Daily News. It will be posted later on the Springfield MRF website, which is springfieldmrf.org. And this is the 18th annual edition of the RRR Guide that I started with my colleagues back in 2008. Down at the Greenfield Recorder, I believe. And now it's expanded to all of the newspapers and or all of the newspapers in that newspaper group. And this year, it's not going to be in the E edition, which is kind of heartbreaking for me, but costs as they are, I understand. It's only going to be in the paper copies of the newspaper that day. Now, of course, there'll be a link. Okay, so we will be spreading that link, and it'll be online for a year, and the link will be on the Springfield MRF website as well as many municipalities. And this year we're focusing on how to dispose of the things that you can't put in your regular household recycling. So things like plastic bags and styrofoam and batteries. Battery safety is a really big one. I'd love to talk about that at the end if we have any more time. And then we're talking about mercury bearing items like fluorescent light bulbs and thermostats, like old fashioned wall mounted thermostats, like for your heating system, should not be put in the trash because they contain a significant amount of mercury. So we talk about how to dispose of all these things. And then we have our 18 page or whatever it is, what do I do with disposal guide that lists all kinds of things. So we have a lot of good tools in the guide, so I hope people will read it. It's 32 pages long. We got a lot of advertisers, and even our advertisements are local and educational. So I hope people will check it out and also support our advertisers.
Amy, again, what is the date of the publication?
It's the 17th, which is Thursday of this week. And then the next day on the 18th, the RRR Guide South will be in the Springfield Republican. That's a slightly different publication. that has some of the same elements but different articles. So it's a different group that produces it, but it's still the Springfield MRF Advisory Board.
Well, Amy, unfortunately, we are out of time. I'm sure we could talk for hours about trash. And so I want you to tell folks how they can find out more about the Solid Waste Management District, your website, and then we'll have you on again at some point in the future, but we are out of time. So if yes. You would just tell folks how they can find out more about this, your website and other information like that.
Yeah, well, you can find the guide after publication. All of the guides, there's one in the Berkshires too, are posted on springfieldmrf.org. Look for Reduce, Reuse, Recycle Guide. And then my organization, Franklin County Solid Waste Management District, is online. franklincountywastedistrict.org is our website. We're also on social media. Both the Springfield MRF and the Solid Waste District are on Facebook. So you can just search for those names. And then the Springfield MRF is also on Instagram. So look it up if you're on Instagram.
Yeah. Amy, thanks so much for being on the show and for talking about all this stuff that most people don't talk about. We really appreciate the great job that you're doing, specifically working with all the schools and community events and fairs and all that kind of stuff. We didn't talk about that, but setting up those composting operations and the educating part that you do, because a big part of what you do is educating communities and schools and that kind of stuff. Thanks so much for all of that you do that most people don't know that you're doing.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. There are a lot of people working behind the scenes on waste all the time in Massachusetts. And we have a great listserv. And like I mentioned, massrecycle.org is a great hub for all things Massachusetts recycling.
Excellent. All right. Amy, again, thanks so much for everything that you do and for being on the Enviro Show.
Yes. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Dio. I appreciate it very much.
Well, it's nice to have Amy back on the show after a very long time.
Yeah, her and Jan Amin have been doing this regional organizing. That's really what they do around our waste disposal problems. And you know, we didn't talk with Amy about sludge, but sludge is a really big deal. And, you know, wastewater treatment plant sludge, industrial waste sludge that comes out of manufacturing facilities. And that's something we should do a show on soon. And maybe we'll invite someone who's one of the sponsors of legislation currently before the state legislature, working its way through the process now in this session, which would ban the use of sludge basically for any kind of agricultural or compost operation. Mm-hmm. Would not be able to use sewage sludge, which would be a great thing. So we'll hopefully do that on a future show. But right now, the best thing that you can do is just try to buy stuff that is not packaged in plastic. And it's really hard. It's a challenge to find anything that's not wrapped in plastic.
Right. And it helps to do your own composting as well.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. And grow your own food. That's the ticket right there. Grow as much food as you can right in your own yard if you got one.
Yeah. And didn't we talk in the last show or the show before that about plastic spoons worth of material in every human brain or something?
The average brain, some people have more. It's based on your diet, but the average brain has about one disposable plastic spoon worth of plastic microparticles embedded in their brain right now. And that explains a lot. It really does. It's a plastic world, folks.
Yeah, right. You know, I remember way back in the day in the 60s, I was making noise about plastic this and plastic that. And I had a friend, a buddy who worked at IBM, and he turned to me and said, "Hey, Dio, plastic, you know, it comes from oil. It's natural."
Right. Yeah. It's all natural. Yeah. Yeah. That's when the word natural lost all meaning. Anyway,
yeah,
we're out of here. We're taking our plastic brains and saying, remember, if you can still remember, with all that microplastics in your brain. Or maybe it's the microplastics that are talking. Who knows? But remember to
listen to your mother. This is Dio saying adios.
And I'm Glenn Plastic Brain Ayers. Take care.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.